Now we're getting to the fun stuff. No more games. The gloves are taken off. Jesus Christ repels those treacherous Pharisees and scribes, those perfidious Jews, as they are called in the old liturgy, because they say that they know Abraham, and yet they refuse to believe in him, about whom Abraham rejoiced that he would see his day. And he saw it and was glad. So today we have the beginning of Passion Tide. Today the church delves herself more deeply into Lent, into sacrifice. Even though today being Sunday is nevertheless a day of lesser sacrifice, but not so. For the next couple of weeks, we shall indeed join ourselves, hopefully by greater prayer, by more time being spent before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, united to the Blessed Mother, especially through the gift of her Holy Rosary, which unites us always with the life and death of Christ. Thus, hopefully, we shall spend many hours of prayer during these 2 weeks as we prepare to celebrate those holy days, those holiest of days, during which Christ gave us the magnificent gifts of salvation, of the Holy Eucharist, of the Holy Priesthood, during which he became in every which way the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And thus, St. Paul reminds us in his epistle to the Hebrews, in the Pontifical Biblical Commission over 100 years ago decreed that it was imperative to believe, that St. Paul was the author of this epistle. Not as the modernists say. I heard so many theories. Some theologians even said that the Blessed Mother wrote the epistle to the Hebrews. She would be appalled. St. Paul wrote the epistle to the Hebrews because he was, and he tried to be, a perfect Hebrew, even to the point of being the enemy of God and of Christ. But he was converted, and thus he preaches Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ, who is the one who really takes away the sins of the world. Not goats and calves and heifers or anything else. Those sacrifices are past. They do nothing for us. They had some efficacy in the Old Testament. But we are living in the New Testament. We are part of the New Testament. And mind you, the New Testament is not finished. We are part of the New Testament. So we receive the wondrous gifts of Christ. Christ, who is the real Lamb of God. Christ, who is the one that takes away the sins of the world. And then in the Gospel, we have Jesus confronting the Hebrews, the Jews. The multitudes heard him. And he says, "Shall you convict me of sin?" Now, of course, he is eternal God. He is sinless. He is the purest Lamb. And then they say that they believe in God, that they are hoping for the Messiah to come. But he has come, and he is there in front of them, and they do not believe him. And he says, he who is of God believeth in me. He heareth the words of God. And of course, Jesus Christ is the eternal word of God made man, which we celebrated wonderfully yesterday in the feast of the Annunciation, of the incarnation of the Son of God, who came to give us life and life eternal. And then, of course, they do that which has been done since that time. And many saints have been accused of this. Many even today. We know very well now that you are a Samaritan, a heretic, an enemy of the church. You are not in union with the mainstream part of the church. Have we not heard this recently? And that thou hast a devil. Imagine the blasphemy and the sacrilege of accusing our Lord Jesus Christ of being possessed by a devil, his enemy. And Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, who you say is your God. Once again, Jesus Christ proclaims himself to be the Son of God. And many modernist theologians and heretics actually question that Jesus Christ ever said he was God. They do not read the scriptures. They do not understand his words. But you must have the Holy Spirit in order to understand his words. And so that tells you, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he doesn't come just to show off and to glorify himself. It is God the Father who glorifies him. And now, of course, they even more devilishly and emphatically accuse him of having a devil. You're not yet 50. Of course, we know that he was about 32 years old at this time, maybe almost 33. And you say that you have seen Abraham? How can it be? And our Lord says, if anyone keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. He comes to bring us life, and life abundantly. And they say, are you greater than Abraham, our father? And he is dead, and the prophets are dead. Whom dost thou make thyself to be? Jesus says, I give glory to my Father. My Father gives glory to me. Of whom you say that he is your God. He is the Son of God. And so therefore, he speaks about Abraham again. Abraham wished to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad, he rejoiced. And then, again, they accuse him of his age, and that he has a devil. And Jesus then uses the forbidden words, the words that no one dare to utter. Before Abraham was made, I am. He proclaims himself to be God. He is the God who is. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob and Isaac, and of Moses, and of all the prophets. He is. the God who exists and gives existence to anything that exists. And so they who did not believe him were about to stone him as a blasphemer. But it was not his time yet. His time is coming. Oh, yes, all too soon. So he goes through their midst. They're not able to touch him. Because it was not yet his hour. That hour which was determined by the Blessed Mother at the Feast of Cana. Woman, what happens to me happens to thee. My hour is not yet come. And then she says to the servants at the feast, do whatever he tells you. And he turns water into the choicest of wines and performs his first miracle. And at that moment, the hourglass that leads to his hour, to his passion, is turned by her, the mother of sorrows. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. And so it begins. And so we shall undergo and suffer with him and with her the hours of his passion, of his death, so that we may be able to be partakers of his resurrection. And do not think, dear people, that this is just something mystical that we can imagine or think about. This is real. And it must be your life. If you do not live in union with Christ and his hour, you will not live in union with Christ in his glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.